Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 115 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for our final game recap of 2024, which has been an absolutely amazing year for Inter. We'll talk about it a little bit. For the game against Cagliari away, which finished 3-0 to the visitors, goals from Bastoni in the 53rd, Lautaro Martinez on the score sheet finally in the 71st, and then Hakan Çalhanoğlu rounding it out with a penalty in the 78th minute. As always, I am one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here finally. We have him back by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, give us an update. How are you feeling?
Dude, barely alive right now. I don't even know. This has been the worst flu I think I've ever had. I've never felt this sick for this long. And I was proactive because I knew I wanted to fly. I didn't get to fly home to see my family. That stinks. Second, I knew I was getting sick. So I was like, all right, let me start taking something right away. Called my doctor, got on some meds, and man, this kicked my ass. But today's the first day I'm actually starting to feel. I'm maybe at like 75%. So we're getting there, slowly but surely.
Well, Inter was at about 75% today, so you guys are in lockstep here.
Got a little fans in common,
yeah. Yeah, fans are happy to have you back. And let's get into this game a little bit. So I think a good place for us to start would just be to talk about 2024 a little bit. Maybe give a letter grade here. 2024 was the year that Inter secured their second star. Overall, most points secured in Serie A, most goals, least goals conceded. Just a truly, truly terrific year that I think a lot of Interisti, you know, you'll see it on the timeline, on Twitter, anything not exactly going our way, we go at this team. So I think we should take a moment to just appreciate what we've seen this year from the guys, from Inzaghi, from Marotta. It's been a good one. What grade would you give this?
I mean, yeah, for the whole year, I'd have to give it an A, right? You look at it, second star, like you said, most goals, least conceded, most points. I mean, how can you give it anything less, really? You know, what didn't go right? What are you really going to like nitpick at? Sure, you can look at some individual performances here and there, but overall, I mean, you achieved everything that you could possibly want. You got multiple trophies if you include the Supercoppa. I think the only thing you could really take it away from an A+ is the fact that the way we lost to Atletico in the Champions League. That's really the only thing that I could look back on and be truly disappointed in, because I think we actually outplayed them. Given the opportunities we had in the first leg, we probably should have won that game more convincingly and thus given us a better chance in the second leg. But that's if you're really just grasping at straws. So for me, it's an A.
Yeah, I have to agree. I've seen a lot of Inter teams during both of our, you know, fandom. And this has been one of the greatest years that we've ever experienced, not just from a standpoint of, you know, trophies won, and a special, special trophy in the second star, the 20th Scudetto, but also just like the level of play from this team has been outstanding. It's not every week. Not every week is a joy. Sometimes it is a chore, but for the most part, you know, we get to celebrate results like 6-0 against Lazio this year. You know, getting to beat Arsenal in the Champions League after so much shit talk back and forth. It's we've had some enjoyable results. Really, really proud of this team. I'm less inclined to, you know, bitch and moan after an opening 45 like what we saw today, just because of what we've seen from this team throughout Inzaghi's tenure. So really, really happy for everyone. Also, super important to end the year the way that we did. Obviously, we know, you know, we have a game in hand on the rest of the league. Napoli playing once a week, you know, getting results. I wouldn't say playing well, but getting results. Atalanta playing their asses off. Seems like they've learned how to manage the league under Gasperini and are really really pushing for a title contention. So it was important that we ended this year on a strong note. And in our last five Serie A games, 5 wins, 19 goals scored, 1 conceded, 4 clean sheets. Just a terrific way to end the year. So Merry Christmas to all the Interisti. The guys have been delivering for you. And yeah, let's get into it. Cagliari. Right. It's kind of the exact game you would expect for a top side traveling to a relegation team away from home. There was, in the first half, a lot of missed sitters. It felt like every call was going against Inter. You know, on every set piece that was taken against us, it felt like we were about to concede. Scuffet playing like, I tweeted, prime Lev Yashin. So it had the feel that something was going to go wrong for Inter during this game after that first half. Where were you as far as this game was concerned? Were you nervous that, you know, we weren't going to be able to pull it through? Or in the end, did you have no doubt?
Honestly, I had no fear, no concern with this. I knew that this was going to be a tough game, and that there were going to be chances, plenty of chances. So even though we weren't finishing, and I was disappointed in the first half with the poor finishing for sure, specifically a couple players, which we can get into in a minute here. But it was never in doubt for me. It really wasn't. I knew that we would be able to remedy this in the second half, and all it takes is one. And once one would come, I thought the floodgates would open, which inevitably it did. So, listen, this is we're never going to go out. I shouldn't say never, because we did it against Lazio, but it's not going to be one of those games, or, you know, Serie A is the toughest league, in my opinion, to compete in, top to bottom. It doesn't matter how bad a Lecce is, a Venezia is, Cagliari, whoever you want to throw out there, you know, Siena from years past. Any team can beat you on any given day. Doesn't mean that you played poorly. Doesn't mean they played great. Sometimes it's just the luck of the bounce. It really is. And we can't go in thinking like, oh, Cagliari, easy 3 points. Like, yes, you could expect 3 points, but you can't go in and say easy 3 points. Because that's when they decide to, you know, a goalkeeper, you know, decides to play out of his mind, or a forward decides to put 3 out of 3 chances away. You know, things can happen. But at the end of the day, I know that we are Inter. We have the talent. We definitely, man for man, outmatch them. There's not a player you would take from Cagliari to put on this Inter team ever. And I thought that if we continued performing the way we were, because they were never on the front foot, let's be honest, we would get the goal eventually. And we did. You know, yes, it was a tough first half, but I knew it was going to come. So I'm glad with the result. And then you look at the score line and you'll think like, oh, easiest win for Inter all season, probably, kind of type thing. So again, let's stop hitting panic so quick every time this team doesn't score a goal in the first 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's the most frustrating thing, but it never fails to happen. It's just like an understanding of how football works. It's like, it's very... If you watch the Serie A often, like, very typically, these are the sort of games where that first 45 looks a little bit like ass. And it's happened to us on several occasions this year against Empoli, right? Like, it didn't look good in that first half. The away games to these, you know, relegation sides are always, it always takes a little bit of time for us to show up. But for the most part, in the end, we've been able to do so. Biggest, most important thing that came out of this game. I'm going to throw you 3 options. 1, another clean sheet. The defensive solidity issues from earlier in the year seem to be rectified. 2, we don't know officially, but it looks like we came out of that game relatively healthy, heading into this run of games in January that looks insane, and also heading into traveling for the Supercoppa. Or three, Lautaro breaking his duck and finally getting on the score sheet. Most important thing for you?
For me, it's health. You know, it's a long season. You want to have all your guys available throughout the season. I don't care who it is. You know, whether it's even someone like Correa or someone like Aslani, you want everybody available at your disposal. There's going to be a lot of games. It's going to be a congested, you know, schedule coming up. You're going to want to have, you know, rotation available to you. You can't just keep throwing out the same players each match and expecting the same results. Fatigue does play a factor. They're humans. They're not robots. Like, they need to be rotated. They need to be rested. So to be able to come out, hopefully, where everyone is healthy, that's, to me, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that also opens up the conversation. We'll talk about the Lautaro of it all for sure, but I think just to continue on this path a little bit, I think it also opens up the conversation for how should we, as a club, be approaching this Supercoppa? Because you can add to your trophy cabinet in a matter of, what is it, three games, four games? I don't know the exact amount, or maybe two
games. No, I thought it was two games.
How important is it to try to add that silverware, or should this strictly be, these are games that are on our calendar, we have to play them, we're going to play them in a way where we're not going to risk any guys so that we can continue to go after our real objectives?
That's tough. You know, for me, I probably would have thought of it as doing that with the Coppa Italia. We still got all the victory in that one. So the way I see it, why not just go for it at this point? Last year, I would have said something completely differently. I think now it's like, I think you still have the talent, even with a rotated squad, to be able to win both matches if that's, you know, the route you decide to go. And, you know, if you decide, hey, you know what, maybe this is another opportunity to play Josep Martinez. Maybe this is an opportunity to give Palacios more minutes, you know. I mean, and even if they don't win, right, and they do the heavy rotation and let a lot of these fringe players get some minutes and we get knocked out, it is what it is. I don't think any Interisti are going to be truly upset. Yeah, it'd be nice to maybe add another trophy to your cabinet, but it's not the end-all be-all. And, you know, I say go for it. But again, if you don't, I don't care. I'm not going to be upset. You know, you have the talent though at your disposal. So it's like, why not see what you can do?
Yeah, I can't envision Inzaghi taking his foot off the gas if he's got a competition in front of him. I think that's going to be a big discussion on Inter Twitter coming up. Is how do we want to play these games? I would do Josep Martinez in net. Not that Sommer really needs the rotation, but, you know, just to give him some more opportunities. The Coppa Italia is not a particularly long competition. That's not a ton of games for him to get throughout the season. So I'd probably do Josep Martinez. And then as far as, you know, the rest of the team, like, I do think they're going to go for it. Whether that can be said as the right way to play it, I mean, the nightmare scenario is definitely up, you know, potential that does occur. So knock on wood, I mean, you do have to try to be careful here. But I wouldn't fault them for going after it. If they decided to, you know, play Correa and Taremi, I wouldn't be upset with that either. I feel like it's, you know, the only way you can really get upset is if you something happens where it really affects the rest of your season. So at that point, the only way that it's really a lose-lose. And if Inter gets knocked out, like, we know how quick Interisti are to, you know, go after this team, even if it's unmerited. You know, is that going to create a discussion that's really not helpful for the club? We'll see how it plays out. Still got a few days before that occurs. All right, Lautaro getting on the score sheet. That first half was dreadful, concerning. In the first 10 minutes, he miscontrols a couple balls. Ball gets swung into the back post, and Nima tweeted, like, it's harder to miss than it is to score in that situation. things were not looking particularly good. I thought he rebounded really well in the second half. He scored about as easy a goal as you can have put right on a plate for him, but still good to see the ball go in the back of the net. What's your overall sensation around this Lautaro performance?
Not good enough. Congrats on breaking your duck, but you're a striker. Like you shouldn't be going through lulls like this, in my opinion. I'd have to agree with Nima. You know, you could say, I know he was trying to say he couldn't see the ball. With where you were, almost any touch off your body, it should have ended up in the back of the net. I don't understand how that ball doesn't end up in a goal. It is harder to miss that than to score. It really is. And somehow he did it. And did it, not only did it like that, but it went over the crossbar. Incredible. It truly is. Poor touches, poor passes. The frustration was visible. You could see, like, every time he got touched, it was like the end of the world for him. Missing a header off a corner all over the crossbar, or maybe it was a cross in. I don't remember now. Shooting the ball wide.
He did also miss several in the second half, too. That does have to be said. It wasn't like a complete turnaround.
Yeah. If he didn't score that one that he did, I don't even know what I'd be saying here right now, to be quite honest, but it's still just not good enough. And when you want big boy money, you want to be amongst the highest paid, not just in Italy, but in the world, and you can go months without scoring, and you're, you know, 8-9 goals. I think it's 8 goals now, actually, but 8 goals behind your strike partner, who isn't really known for his finishing, but is actually having a fantastic season. You want to be the man, and you're not performing like it. And I don't know how long you can keep doing this. It's exhausting, though. I found myself when I was watching the game thinking, leave him out there for all 90. Make even if he doesn't score, make him suffer. And just be on the pitch, you know, and just steep in that negativity or something. When are you going to snap out of it? I don't know. But fortunately, you know, our man of the match gave him a ball that even Arnautovic probably could have put in, to be quite honest. So,
yeah,
happy for him that he got the goal. Obviously, again, like I've said, for many players, specifically Dumfries, because people get upset, but I don't root for them to fail. It's just, it's frustrating. That's all.
Yeah. So we'll talk about, you mentioned the man of the match. We'll get to him next. But last thing on this Lautaro conversation, he's obviously very frustrated. The fans are obviously very frustrated. Where do you think mentally this team is at with him? Because it's very clear they're looking for him. It's very clear, like, they want him to break his duck, which he was able to do today. But it's also, you know, they're setting up 4 or 5 really good chances for him to put away that he wasn't able to do so. You know, there's been interviews, Marotta, Calhanoglu, Bissek, everybody talking about how strong the dressing room is. In a situation like this, do you see potential for sort of, he is the captain of the team, but do you see potential for sort of everyone else on the team, like, kind of at their wit's end with teeing this guy up to continue to miss opportunities? Especially at 0-0?
I don't think so. I think, like you said, they are a united front. They are very supportive of one another, everybody at the dressing room, which I think is great. You know, we as fans, we can get heated, we can get frustrated and annoyed. But if the squad themselves are united and they're supportive of one another, then it doesn't really matter what the outside noise is, to be quite honest. Like, I could sit here and complain about whomever all day long, but if at the end of the day, you know, his teammates are lifting him up in the dressing room, they're encouraging him, they're, you know, not only saying the right things in front of cameras, but saying them behind closed doors. I mean, obviously, we're not privy to that, but it seems like they're all supportive. They know that these things, I think, like I said, like, they're not robots, right? They are humans. They have these things where they can go in lulls. Now, yes, like I said, we could be frustrated as fans, but, you know, I know if I was in the same situation, I would hope that my teammates would still be trying to get me the ball and still be trying to help me, you know, get on the score sheet. So hats off to them for being, I can't think of an inter-squad in my life that has been more united than this one, especially with the core players, really. The core, I guess you could say four, like Di Marco Bastoni, Barella and Lautaro, and you could throw Hakan in there too. They all seem to be, you know, sentinels in the in the dressing room and encouraging one another at all times. And there never is any sign of them like turning on one another, which I think is great. So I no concern for me that they'll eventually get to that point.
All right, this is the actual last thing on this. Over under 2 games until we see Lautaro's next goal.
I'll say over.
You say over. Our next two fixtures are against Atalanta in the Supercoppa and Venezia. Or actually, whoever moves on in the Supercoppa. You're saying over.
If we move on, over. If we don't move on, under.
He'll score against Venezia.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's hope he turns it around. A player who is very much in the midst of some great form, Nicolò Barella. 2 assists today. 2 insane balls. I mean, Bastoni did the heavy lifting on his goal on that first ball. But then he teed up Lautaro perfectly. A model of consistency. Probably the player that you think of when you think about Inzaghi's Inter for this entire period. It's been Barella. Has this been the best season of his career, do you think, so far?
I don't know if I would say the best season of his career so far. That's a little tough to give him right now. I will say it's probably been one of his more consistent seasons so far, which I think he's been able to perform, not just in scoring goals, but also supplying them. He's been, you can make an argument, one of the most important players all season, whether you want to throw Di Marco, or, I mean, I would say Di Marco personally, but Di Marco or Thuram in there as well. Yeah, it's up for debate, of course. But phenomenal. And he does seem to do really well against Cagliari. It's almost like he goes home and he feels like he owes the fans a performance. He has scored a volley there in the past, which was a banger. He has provided assists there. I don't know if it's because he's playing in front of friends and family or what, but I would bet my money, you know, I wish I would have thrown something on him to have an assist, like a goal and an assist, because it's almost automatic when he goes back there. So phenomenal performance. I wonder, you know, if his haters, who are few, but there are some in our fan base, who, you know, will find something to nitpick at in his game today. But I was thrilled with it. And, you know, hats off to him and for getting 2 assists. Yeah, the first one was a little fortunate. But like I said, sometimes you need a bounce to go your way to be able to get all 3 points. And that opened the floodgates for us.
7 goal contributions in the Serie A, none in the Champions League, surprisingly.
That must be a typo.
There's also been a lot of rotation in the Champions League. So, yeah, it's been a stellar season, just overall play from Barella. Nothing that's unexpected, but, you know, it's been a little different this year. And I think you see a lot more PR around him than you have in previous seasons.
Yeah, so let's settle down with the PR.
There's a little PR. So, yeah, really happy with how he's performing. Of course, like you mentioned, this is his hometown. So it's not unexpected that he's gonna bring it. But yeah, any team in the world would be lucky to have a Barella on their side. The rest of the squad fairly average performances across the board. Is there anyone that in particular that you want to sound out for their performance today, both negative or positive? I have a positive that I definitely want to touch on.
Then you go ahead. I can't really think of it. I mean, I think of instances, but not like overall performances.
Yeah. A couple, a player who had a couple instances that were awesome, Jan Sommer. The closeout for the breakaway that Pikkelä had was picture perfect goalkeeping. Picture perfect goalkeeping in a situation that very easily, I think it was 1-0 at that point, in a situation, and even if it was 2-0, that could have very easily put us in a bad spot if he was to foul there, get sent off. You know, Cagliari gets a goal, and now they're able to do something against us. Spectacular. Even late in the game, I forget exactly who on Cagliari had a little breakthrough on the left-hand side, squared a ball across. Bisek was defending him, and he, again, just played it perfectly. So, yeah, really happy with how consistent and just top level, top line Jan Sommer has been.
That's a great shout.
Jan Bisek. Another start for him. Pavard, Inzaghi mentioned, is on his way back. Has the starter position, and we know these guys are going to rotate the whole way through the rest of the season, but has the starter position been claimed by Bisek at this point?
I feel like you have to say that, right? I mean, Pavard's had a pretty disappointing year for the most part. Bisek has been, although he's probably had lower lows than Pavard, I think he's had more consistency as a defender. And especially going forward, it feels like he's been more of a threat as well. So I think it is Bisek's locked down in the meantime. And who knows, maybe Pavard will be able to earn his way back into to getting more, you know, more minutes and more starts and under his belt, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I'm confident though that Bisek will probably hang on to it.
Bisek's been better this year. He also on the pitch, he offers something different than Pavard, and that's just a little bit more insertion into the final third. It was more prevalent in the first half of this game than it was in the second, but still able to, you know, to offer something different. Also aerially, it's a different ball game. Having to defend a Bisek on set pieces is something that you don't want to do. You'd rather do that with Pavard. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Pavard's still the starter based on Inzaghi's love for the veterans, but we'll see how that shakes out. And I think one other player that we should talk about is Thuram was definitely robbed of goals today, by the way, by Scufet. But let's talk about Mkhitaryan. First half, several giveaways, passes that were definitely not precise, booting the ball over the bar when he, at the very least, should have put it on target. Frustrating. But rebounded in the second half, looked much better. What's your assessment of Mkhitaryan at this point during the season?
Listen, I did a poll not too long ago where clearly I'm in the minority here. I'm not the biggest Mkhitaryan fan. I don't see what he does well. And maybe it's my own bias against him because I think I'm just fed up with his inability to play, you know, a simple pass and poor decision making, slow to react on a lot of things. But people love him apparently, and clearly Inzaghi's one of them as well. I just don't get it. I was frustrated again, but I was trying not to. First of all, I was trying to stay off Twitter because when you're not feeling well, that just drains even more life out of you.
And without question,
it just
the energy is quite toxic.
It is so toxic, and I know I could be toxic too. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm some saint, but you know, it's I just didn't want to be on it. And yeah, He's a player that will be a head scratcher for me for years, even after he leaves, where I just won't get what exactly he did that made people fall in love with him. And hey, you know what? I mean, I'm okay being in the wrong because, yeah, I just don't get it.
I think this is a good opportunity to get into the Q&A here because Nick Costa at Forza Inter 215, he actually asked why the over-reliance on Mkhitaryan. He has no technical ability and many plays die when the balls come to his feet. Is your answer, you know, just that he's got a relationship with Inzaghi and Inzaghi just trusts him at this point?
It has to be, right? I'm not going to sit here and pretend Zielinski came in and did something incredible today because he didn't. I think if you look at the most memorable thing he did was the miscommunication between him and Lautaro for that chip over the top to both of them by Hakan. But you see the difference in quality between Zielinski and Mkhitaryan. So it's like, why is there such a reliance on Mickey? I know we keep saying, oh, well, he has Inzaghi's trust, but it's like, why? Like, I wish we would hear as to why he has his trust. What is it that he does that we don't see? I would love to know because, yeah, like, skying that ball over the crossbar, to me, that's inexcusable. You pretty much have an empty net. I think if you keep it low and put it in a corner, left or right, it goes in. Don't get it. Not one bit, but...
Yeah, I don't know why the Italian media doesn't like hold Inzaghi's feet to the fire here. They criticize him on everything else, but they don't really ask him about the insistence on Mkhitaryan over Zielinski. Maybe it's just us that maybe it's not in Italy. They're not clamoring to see Zielinski. I don't know, but I know I am. All right, at Zaid 206 GTI, will Lautaro start scoring more goals from now on, or is this just a false dawn? So I guess essentially the question is, do you think Lautaro is going to have a rebound second half of the season?
To be honest, I don't know. Do I hope so? Of course. You know, we need him to start scoring consistently to be able to be successful in this league and to hopefully, you know, create some separation between us and the other teams in the Scudetto race. But it's tough to tell. I mean, you know, you look at who he scored against. It's not good squads. Maybe we do need Salernitana back in Serie A to have him end his streaks or something. Wow. And, you know, maybe Massimo Moratti can do us a favor by Salernitana and help them get promotion and you know, in the end, be helping Inter out somehow. But, you know, all kidding aside, I really don't know if he'll be able to turn around. I'm hopeful, of course, but it's tough with him.
I think he will. There's a lot of season ahead of us. And I think with him, he's out of form, but I think very easily... You know, we've seen his quality. I think he can snap back into it. He just needs some things to go his way. So much has not gone his way that it's kind of like, okay, at some point this has to end. Again, knock on wood. I'm crazy superstitious, but I'm really, I think he can rebound in the second half. Sean from Alabama at Nerazzurri Pirlo. Is there any way we start seeing more build up down the middle again? I haven't seen any of the strikers link up nearly at all this year. Do you think this is tactical or because their touch hasn't been on form? Great question.
I would say it's tactical. You know, I think they know that their strength is on the wings, getting the balls out wide. You want it out to DiMarco to be able to cross into your forwards or cross into midfielders if they're in, you know, a dangerous position. So I think when you're not clogging the middle, that allows more space in the middle, if that makes sense. You know, if you're going out to the channels and it allows your midfielders freedom to be able to find space to run into. Your forwards can drop back if needed. If you're playing through the middle constantly, that makes it a little bit more congested and difficult to be able to play those quick 1-2s and stuff because then the team that you're going up against is going to want to be compact and tight in the middle and make it difficult to be able to play those balls. So I think it is a little bit more of a tactical thing. You know, when you play like a Juve, they do give you more space. That's why we were able to score you know, the four goals the way we did, because they too were trying to go out wide. So that did give us an opportunity to play in the middle. And you saw that we did try to do that ourselves as well in that game. So it's, yeah, definitely a tactical thing in my opinion. But I also think it's based on your opposition for sure. So
I agree 100%. I think Inzaghi actively wants to stretch the opposition back line, especially because, like, also like you mentioned, the other team's tactics play into this as well. And I think they play deeper and they play tighter when they're playing against Inter. And the way to sort of, you know, find the channels or find the open space in behind is to try to stretch their team. So, you know, there is definitely a reliance on the wingbacks and playing it out wide in order to do so. And then you don't really get a lot of teams playing a high line against Inter, which, like, when you think of build up through the middle, I think of Verona when Correa was able to thread through that ball behind the defense for Thuram. We're not seeing a ton of that because teams aren't as reckless as Verona, I guess you can say. So it's just a function of how we need to score our goals right now based off of how were being played and based off of how Inzaghi wants to play this team. Interesting question as well. At Lord Pape, will we continue scoring most of our goals in the second half in 2025? It is crazy that we do have a lot of opening 45 minutes that are pretty slow, and then in the second half we seem to have these explosions.
That is a tough one. I guess. I don't know. It does feel like that we play a little bit of like a chess match in the first half, try to get a feel for our opponents and see what's working and what will work. And then once we figure that out, then we exploit it in the second half. So yeah, let's say that trend continues. And as long as we're getting 3 points, who cares when the goals come? You know, like, it could be the first 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes. At the end of the day, I just want 3 points. I think I'm at a point where I just want to win. I want to win another Scudetto. And we could win 6 games in a row with just, you know, own goals, and I'll be fine with that as long as we win. So,
yeah, I think it's a hallmark of a good team if you can make some halftime adjustments based off of how a team is playing you. All right, that's the questions. I don't know that much more needs to be said about this game. It wasn't perfect, but they did what they needed to do in order to win. And now we look ahead. The month of January is insane. Absolutely insane. Inter-Atalanta to kick off the Supercoppa January 2nd. Another game, potentially, if Inter wins that sandwich in there. An away trip to Venezia, hosting Bologna and Empoli. Away to Sparta Prague. Away to Lecce, hosting Monaco. You know, those aren't the biggest teams in the world, but a lot of teams that are
maximum points, baby. We're getting maximum points.
I certainly hope so, especially those two Champions League games. I don't want to add more to this calendar. I really don't. I think finishing that top eight.
Bring in the drama. I love it. I love it. I thrive on it. Bring the drama on.
I'm kidding. I think finishing in the top eight is it's crucial. We need a smack Sparta Prague and just get it done. And I think the boys can do it. Look, Bologna, tricky. Empoli, tricky. Monaco, tricky. These all are tricky fixtures. All right, Johnny, that rounds out 2024. I think maybe we'll try to sneak in one more episode, an end of year review, superlatives kind of award season kind of thing. We'll see.
You'll have to pay me, but all right.
We'll see if we can get that in before the end of the year. And then I just want to say thank you to everyone that's been listening. We've said this a few times, and when we've had to do like the 100th episode and so forth, end of seasons and things like that. Really, really appreciate the fact that you guys listen to us. Johnny and I have said this multiple times, like, we would do this if no one was listening, because we enjoy talking about Inter, but the fact that you guys make it so engaging and want to keep listening and talking to us and looking at the map on our RSS feed and seeing all the different countries that
it's so sick.
It's so awesome. It's so awesome. We've also talked about bringing you different kinds of content. I know we've said this a few times. Obviously, you know, we have our own careers, work life, personal life, and so forth, but we really are going to make an emphasis in 2025 on expanding into different types of content and just wrapping our heads around how we can do that, who we can bring onto the team to help us. Obviously, Nico Bocuzzi on the team to do the pregame TikToks, and we really appreciate those. And we'll look for more opportunities to do so. We're open to ideas, 100%. The DMs are open. Shoot us a DM. Let us know what you think. You know, obviously, we won't be able to work with everyone, but you know, we're open to trying new things. And yeah, just wanted to say thank you for an amazing 2024.
Yeah, no, I mean, just to kind of piggyback off that for sure. Thankful for all the listeners. Thankful for the diverse, really, you know, crowd that we have. It's amazing. You know, I know Inter is a club that's supported and loved around the world, and to have so many people in so many different countries listening to us, especially as English speakers, you know, like this isn't, you know, an Italian first speaking podcast. We do it from here in the States, and we do it from a fan's perspective. We're not journalists by any means. So to have, you know, the input that we get from you guys, good or bad, you know, I mean, I know there are people who disagree with us greatly. There are people who do agree with us, and we appreciate it nonetheless because it's engagement. We, you know, that's what we're hoping for, you know. And what fan base agrees across the board? None. So, you know, it's amazing. We're thankful. There are people that we are in touch with too, trying to get involved with. You know, I'm hopeful that we can maybe have like a little bit of a pregame. Well, I know Alessandro is hopeful as well. You know, stuff leading up to the matches where it's not just post-match reaction stuff. And, you know, hopefully we can add some people to the interviews team because, yeah, it's hard for us, especially now that Alessandro and I are literally on different parts of the country, you know, 3 hours difference. Sometimes I have to be up at 6, you know, if I want to watch the game and you know, you guys could be up on the East Coast at 9 and recording right after an episode or whatever it is. It's, you know, it's hard for both of us, you know, obviously both with professional careers and now, you know, Alessandro being engaged, you know, that's that is a little bit more important, right? So if we can get more people involved to be able to make this easier on all of us, and you know, we'll look into that, of course. So but thankful for all you guys, all the input, the feedback, all the questions, you know, even participating in the giveaways. Also, shout out to Edgar from Inter Club Boston. I haven't forgotten to send your card out. Obviously, just dealing with the flu. I did not go anywhere for over a week. This is the first sign of life I've had in literally over a week. So it's been 9 days now, actually. So anyway. But thank you again. Stay safe for New Year's, guys. And yeah, we will see you in 2025 or before the end of the year, whatever.
All right, guys, you know the deal. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.